get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, here's Zella Lave. Say, Zella, I need you to help settle a discussion. What do you think is America's favorite dessert?
Well, to be truthful, it isn't a matter of just thinking. It's always apple pie. And really, friends, isn't a big, juicy apple pie with a flaky, tender crust one of your family's first loves? Notice I said flaky, tender crust. That's important. But you know, it's easy, too. Why, when you follow Crisco's new pastry method, you just can't miss. Honestly, with Crisco and this new pastry method, you're absolutely sure of tender, flaky pastry. Yes, sir, every single time you make a pie, you can count on a crust as tender and flaky as any you ever tasted. Even if you never made a pie before, you get pie crust that breaks at the touch of a fork. And being made with Crisco, pie crust is digestible, too. Yes, when the family pitches in, there's no worry about upset digestions. And pitch in they will. You just try Crisco and the pastry method printed on the Crisco label. And I'll bet you that even if you've had tough luck with pies before, this time you'll get a perfect crust. Golden brown, tender and flaky. Why don't you make a Crisco apple pie tonight? Once you've tried pure all-vegetable Crisco and this new pastry method, well, you'll be making pies just to show how good you are. Now, friends, right after the program, I'll give you all the details on Crisco's new cookbook and how to get it. Be sure to listen. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find young Russell and his great-uncle Fletcher. The gentlemen are swinging gently in the swing, and the elder seems to be concluding an anecdote. Listen.
Finally quit the shoebox manufacturing business, married a woman 27 years old named McGraw, twisted her father's arm until he squealed just to show who was boss, and ended up by dying in Terre Haute, Indiana, with the sweetest smile on his face his relatives ever seen.
He had an interesting life.
Colorful career. A very colorful career.
Uh-huh.
Mama's downtown, did you tell me?
Yeah. The Thimble Cup ladies are having a bazaar in a vacant store across from the courthouse, and Mom's one of the big shots running it.
Be home shortly, I expect.
No, I don't think so. She's going to be on the job all day long. In fact, she's not even coming home for supper.
Uh-huh.
It's not hard to see through you, Uncle Fletcher.
Beg pardon, Russell, honey?
You got something up your sleeve to tell Mom, and you're disappointed she's not here, and you're kind of halfway playing with the notion of telling me. But you hesitate to do that because I'm just a young kid and hardly worth the trouble.
Yes, that's right.
Sure, that's right.
Papa at the office, likely, are they?
Yeah, he ought to be home, though, any minute.
Uh-huh.
So if you stick around, you can tell him what you got on your chest.
I'm in no big sweat.
Yeah.
Russell, honey, I was in the 10-cent store this afternoon.
Oh, that's so?
I sauntered into the 10-cent store to see if they had any polished copper ox bolts.
Uh-huh.
And I fell into conversation with the manager of the 10-cent store, Mr. Harry Expaw.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Harry Expaw, I am persuaded, after our 10-minute interview, is not a 100% dyed-in-the-wool straight shooter when it comes to clean business.
Oh?
Mr. Harry Expaw is a good man and a shrewd merchant. I will not deny that. But, Mr. Harry Expaw, Sadie, honey, Vic, honey, I guess I'll wait.
No, it's not Sadie or Vic, honey, Uncle Fletcher. It's just Russell, honey.
That's funny, Sadie.
Just old rotten Russell, honey, that's not worth wasting any breath on.
I started out on a grown-up topic, Russell. Not a matter that interests the children.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you what I'll do, Russell, honey. I'll describe how the Sandman outwitted the little bunny rabbits.
Okay, swell.
Mama ever tell you that tale?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's a tale that you don't need to worry will give you bad dreams, nightmares, or the squealing strawberries.
What are the squealing strawberries?
A disease that originated among the half-wit tribe of the Pueblo dish-faced Indians. After a fierce battle with their enemies, young warriors in the camp would succumb to a nervous affliction that had to be doctored by the medicine man with fire, rain, ashes, and popcorn. This disease, known as the squealing strawberries, cost the lives of 15 or 20 young warriors every year.
Here's Gov.
Beg pardon?
Here's Gov home.
Get off these premises, you low scoundrels.
Afternoon, Vic.
Afternoon. Lend me $5, somebody.
Now you got somebody worth your trouble.
Glorious day, Vic.
It is a marvelous day. It is a marvelous day, and I'm a marvelous man. Hello, Russell.
Hi.
You seem unhappy.
Not at all. I'm as happy as a horse.
All right, then. Get up and give me your seat in the porch swing.
I guess it don't matter who had it first.
Don't matter a bit.
Okay, I'm getting up.
I'll tell you about the Sandman and the little bunny rabbit some other day, Russell, honey.
Don't forget.
Sadie, I understand Vic is downtown this afternoon.
Yeah, her Thimble Club girls are up to some caper down the courthouse square. Bazaar, I believe they call it.
So I was given to understand.
Me too. Me too.
Russell informs me she'll be on the job all day.
Crew up till 10 o'clock this evening.
How have you been feeling, Vic, honey?
First rate. Up to snuff. Can't complain. How's your landlady?
Miss Keller?
That's the kid.
Miss Keller, Vic, honey, don't say a great deal.
Eats three hearty meals every day, I suppose.
Eats three hearty meals a day, please regard that.
Pretty much keeps her trap shut.
Yes, pretty much keeps her trap shut. I don't comment. I don't feel it's my place to comment.
Uh-huh. Well, history tells us that when the poet Keats held a dandelion beneath the chin of the poet Browning to determine whether
Vic,
or not...
Vic, honey, I was in the 10-cent store this afternoon.
Get out. You were not.
Here we go.
Huh?
Uncle Fletcher's going to tell you something he's just been bursting to tell. I wasn't good enough to tell it to.
Maybe you'd like to go out in the yard and play, are they, Russell?
No.
I bet Bluetooth Johnson's out behind the house playing hopscotch in the alley.
Bluetooth Johnson's in Peoria today.
Yes, I bet he's out in the alley playing hopscotch and thinks you're mad at him because you don't go participate in the sport.
Mm. Oh, you say you were in the 10-cent store today, Uncle Fletcher?
Yes.
Describe the experience.
I sauntered into the 10-cent store to see if they had any polished copper ox bolts.
I had polished copper ox bolts for dessert this noon.
Vic, honey, I'm attempting to put you privy to something.
Oh, excuse me, Uncle Fletcher. I'm a low hound.
Yes?
Put me privy to something. You sauntered into the 10-cent store to buy polished ox bolts, did you?
Yes. And I fell into conversation with the manager of the 10-cent store, Mr. Harry Expaw.
I know Harry slightly.
Mr. Harry Expaw, I am persuaded, after our 10-minute interview, is not a 100% dyed-in-the-wool straight shooter when it comes to clean business.
Huh?
Mr. Harry Expaw is a good man and a shrewd merchant. I will not deny that. But Mr. Harry Expaw, Vic, honey, is willing to stoop to expedients which would not find the approval of... Mr. Harry Expaw is willing...
Oh, yes, I catch your drift. Mr. Harry Expaw isn't above a little finagling. What did Mr. Harry Expaw do?
Mr. Harry Expaw, Vic, honey, offered me a job in the 10-cent store.
Oh, really?
Mr. Harry Expaw offered me a job in the 10-cent store playing piano at the music counter.
Oh, no.
Mr. Harry Expaw offered me a job in the 10-cent store playing piano at the music counter.
Well, you can't play piano.
Of course I can't play piano. I can play Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well, but who can't play Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well? A halfwit can play Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well. Only requires two fingers to play Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well.
Well, surely the manager of the 10-cent store didn't offer you a job just playing Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well.
No!
I don't believe I know how to play Ding Dong Dell Pussies in the Well.
Mr. Harry Expaw, Vic, honey, has advertised it as one of the permanent features of his 10-cent store that he has available during all business hours a piano player at the music counter. Well, he's up a stump. In the last 6 months, he's had 7 different girls holding down a position, but they all up and got married on him. Now he's got nobody. He's got nobody, and he can't get nobody. He's desperate.
He sure must be. He's so hard up for a piano player that
he'll hardly... Naturally, I was flattered by the offer. I was flattered by the offer, and I told Harry Expaw so. Harry, I said, I am flattered by the offer.
Uh-huh. Well, I
expect... But it's not clean, square, honest, and above board.
Uh-huh. Well, I expect...
I can't play the half-wit piano.
What if some customer come up to the counter and
all I can play is Ding Dong Bell Pushes in the Well.
What if some customer come up to the counter and requested you to render something?
Uncle Fletcher obliged with Ding Dong Bell Pushes in the Well.
I'll answer the lad's question, Blake. Basil, honey, if some customer come up to the counter and requested me to render a selection, I'd hold up my bandaged hand.
Your bandaged hand?
You don't get the connection?
No.
Oh, I get the connection. That cunning 10-cent store manager, Mr. Harry Expaw,
suggested that I come to work with one hand bandaged, yes. A nitwit piano player can't render any selections with his hand bandaged. When a customer slinks up to the music counter and requests me to pawn him off a selection, I simply show off my bandaged hand and mutter something about, I got careless with a lighted cigar last Sunday afternoon. The customer glances at all the cotton batten and adhesive tape and junk and nods and skulks off.
Say, that Harry Expaw is a sharp son of a gun.
Harry Expaw's a good man and a shrewd merchant. But he is not a 100% dyed-in-the-wool straight shooter when it comes to clean business.
No, I guess not.
I am flattered by your offer, Mr. Expaw, I told him. But I'm afraid I can't accept.
Huh.
I'm afraid I must refuse, Mr. Expaw, I told him. The position of playing piano at the music counter in your 10-cent store.
It's very virtuous of you, Uncle Fletcher. Sooner or later, the fraud would have been found out, and you would have suffered the...
Now, Vic, honey, and you too, Russell, honey.
Uh-huh.
It is time for me to saunter on over to the place.
Well, don't rush off. We might play a few
hands.
It's
time for me to saunter over to the place and eat my supper. My landlady, Miss Keller, most likely has the victuals on the table this minute. Vic, honey?
Yes.
And Russell, honey?
Uh-huh.
I am leaving now.
Uh-huh.
Very likely I will see you soon. Kindly convey my regards to Sadie. And now, goodbye.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now here's Zella Leigh.
Friends, where is time gone? Do you realize this is the last week I can tell you about Crisco's new wartime cookbook? Yes, last call for recipes for good eating. You'll want this cookbook. 64 pages packed with Crisco recipes. Wonderful color photographs of foods. Scads of method pictures explaining cooking tricks. And you should see the variety of Crisco recipes. All so practical nowadays when many things are hard to get. For instance, there are grand ways of fixing leftovers, tempting Crisco dishes for low-cost meats, and a whole section devoted to wonderful hot breads, another with the best Crisco desserts. And you know what? This cookbook gives you alternate ingredients for recipes in case there are foods you can't buy. Isn't that a dandy wartime help? Well, this grand cookbook is yours if you hurry. Print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. The offer is only good in the United States, and you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery. So write today for Crisco's new wartime cookbook.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.